Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, wait, baby, let's go.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a party.
Nothing to party about here. A change of face in the dugout, and it was the same old story as Paul Sheeran found it hard to coax a goal out of the Dons team at Tannadice on Saturday. More than that coming up, plus we hear from Dave Cormack on the next steps on our search for a new manager, and a light-hearted moment with Niall McGinn in his Q&A. And we have all the Dons post-split fixtures. All this plus a roundup of the rest of the matches in the Scottish Premiership and the latest news on the AFC Donscast on Monday, the 22nd of March.
I found that losing my dad, we knew he was going to die, but we never knew how we would feel after that. And it's just a complete whirlwind. You have so much support from all your friends and family for the first couple of weeks and days. And then I think when that kind of dies down, then you realise that, oh my gosh, he's actually gone. Obviously then lockdown started. You couldn't really get away from anything, and especially because we were here, you know, this sofa is where my dad used to lie. So, you know, if you feel inside, I think, oh my God, he would be here normally. For people who have lost someone to COVID, I mean, they don't have the time to say goodbye, and it is a shock. If you are really struggling, I think it's important to reach out to someone. If you can't see your relatives or make sure they're okay, call them, send them flowers, send them cards, food, gifts, any form of showing love, they'll really appreciate, and it doesn't go amiss.
On the 23rd of March, it'll be 1 year since the first UK lockdown. Join a minute silence at midday to show your support for the millions who've been bereaved. And take a moment to connect with anyone you know who's grieving.
I still speak to my mum every single day, morning and night, FaceTiming her. I mean, she's still grieving, and we're like 1.5 years on. Reach out to your friends and family who have just gone through grief or are about to go through grief, because that text message means so much to people.
Many Don supporters live for the weekend at the moment. There's not much else going on in life to entertain you, but if the tonic you are looking for is a Don's win, you'd be hard-pushed to find where that would come from at the moment. Indeed, the performances are enough to push you to drink. Hello and welcome to the AFC Don's Cast from the Inverness Reds with me, Graham Mackay. So a change of face in the dugout in the form of Paul Sheeran didn't produce a different result for the Dons on Saturday. Indeed, Adrian Sparrow's goal was enough for Dundee United to win against the Dons for the first time since May 2015. There was a sense of urgency from the Dons in the first half, something that had been lacking in recent games. Dean Campbell did come close in the opening stages of the match, his effort being deflected onto the post. Just shortly after, a Johnny Hayes strike curled past Sigris near post. The Dons' defence couldn't prevent the United opener just after the hour mark. A one-touch build-up with Lawrence Shankland opened the chance for Sparrow, who fired his shot low into the far corner. After that, we just faded. Ross McCrory came close with a close-range header in the closing stages of the match, but it didn't hit its target. One goal in 10 games is a worrying start for any manager, and now it looks as if our job is to consolidate fourth in the league as Hibs move ahead in third, 7 points ahead of the Dons following their draw against Livingston.
catch live audio and video of our next match only on Red TV. Subscribe now for full match day coverage, replays, highlights and all the goals, exclusive interviews and behind the scenes content. Sign up now at redtv.afc.co.uk. The best of the action only on Red TV.
Okay, let's catch up with some news then. And the SPFL have confirmed the post-split fixtures. Our final five games start on Saturday the 10th of April when we're away to St Johnstone for the 3pm kickoff at McDermott Park. It's a midweek fixture on Wednesday the 21st of April at home to Celtic. Kickoff is at 7:45pm. And we're away to Livingston on Saturday the 1st of May for the 3pm kickoff at the Tony Macaroni. We face Hibs at Pittodrie on Wednesday the 12th of May for a 7:45pm kickoff. And the final match of the season is away to Rangers for the 12:30 kickoff on Saturday the 15th of May. Aberdeen have been linked with a move for soon-to-be-out-of-contract centre-half Declan Gallagher. With both Ash Taylor and Tommy Hoban out of contract this summer, Aberdeen is keen to sign up the player on a pre-contract deal for the defender, despite us not having a manager. Hearts, Dundee United and Cardiff City are also keen on the player. Plans to introduce Celtic and Rangers B teams into League 2 for the start of next season are being finalised for a vote by the SPFL. Two teams, each from the Highland and Lowland Leagues, would also be added to expand the fourth tier to 16 sides. A strategic partnership between Premiership clubs and lower league teams is also being looked at. The working group, with representatives from across all four leagues, hope a vote will take place next month. Under the proposal, the maximum age of players in the B teams would be 21, and those sides would not be allowed to be promoted above League One. Included in the proposals, clubs in Leagues 1 and 2 to benefit by at least £100,000 over a five-year period. Loans of under 21 players between clubs can be increased from 2 to 5. B teams will be able to play in the Challenge Cup, but not the Scottish Cup or League Cup. B teams will have no voting rights and no rights to any distribution money. The only change to the financial model would be teams in the first and second place in the Premiership would forego £290,000 for the first five seasons. The group say at present there will be no changes in terms of the current setup for the Premiership, Championship and League One. However, there is a commitment to review this in the future. The existing pyramid system would also remain in place from next season, with the bottom club in League Two playing against the winner of a playoff between the winners of the Highland Lowland League playoff. Aberdeen Football Club have announced a new partnership with sports data company Sports Alliance, which will enhance engagement with supporters and resolve the issue of having multiple logins for buying tickets online, the club shop and Red TV, with a new single sign-on account. Neil Simpson and Dons fan Jack Ogston has been named as ambassadors and custodian of Aberdeen's AberDNA programme. The initiative, which is entering its fourth year, has 6,500 paid members and has raised an additional £1.8 million towards the football budget in the last three seasons. Dons fan Ogston becomes the first custodian of AberDNA. Ogston's role as custodian will be independent of the club's board and football operation. He'll be given full disclosure of where and how the money is spent to satisfy himself and in turn the members that the fans generated are having the maximum impact on the football budget. The club plans on appointing up to two more custodians to support Ogston.
Well, a very good morning, everyone. Rob, good to see you again. And a very warm welcome to Neil Simpson and Jack Ogston, who are taking leading roles in the club's membership scheme. Guys, good to see you. We'll come to you in a minute, but Rob, if I can start with you, please. Before we get on to today's announcement, can you maybe just go back and remind everyone about why AberDNA was introduced in 2018?
Hi, Mel, and hi to everyone. I think firstly, you know, fans will recall that a key part of our commercial strategy has always been to drive long-term sustainable revenue. And AberDNA as an initiative sits very much at the heart of that. It's become a really critical part of our revenue over the last three seasons. If you look back, that's probably just shy of £2 million that DNA has added to the football budget in just three seasons. So if you think about this season alone, with all the challenges that we've had from the pandemic, it's still going to cost us as a club about £14 million to run and operate. season ticket revenue brings in about 1.6, 1.7 million, or about 11% of what we need from an operational cost perspective. So you then begin to appreciate the importance of DNA and the contribution that it makes to our revenues. I think important to emphasize as well that DNA funding has always been and will continue to be ring-fenced for use exclusively by the football operation. But those funds are generated by the fans and are used to strengthen three areas, the first team, the youth academy, and to bolster our high-performance environment. Very, very important part of what we do from a football operations perspective. I think, Mel, it's fair to say DNA has been a very successful initiative. I think it's been the envy of many clubs in Scotland. And I think we have the fans to thank for the fantastic contribution that they've made over the last three seasons and into the future, the contribution that they would continue to make.
Okay, thanks for that, Rob. Can you now maybe explain a bit about the announcement today and why you've brought Neil and Jack on board and a wee bit about their roles?
Sure. You know, I think looking at DNA and you know, we're always critical of ourselves. We always want to try and improve things in the right way. And we identified two areas that we thought were really important as part of the membership program going forward. And first, you know, was that we felt DNA could do well by having its own ambassador. And we thought there were probably very few people who were better qualified and better placed to take this on than Neil. So we started having those conversations a couple of weeks and months ago, and Neil seems to be up for the challenge, which is great. I think, you know, he sees of everyone out there, he sees firsthand the direct impact that DNA has in his role as head of the youth academy. And I think he's also excited about actively being able to promote DNA, given what it does for the wider football operation. Secondly, I think for us, you know, we wanted to provide fans with every assurance that the funds are being used appropriately and in the right way. And from that, the idea of having a custodian as part of the membership program was born. I see this role as providing that added level of transparency from someone who is independent, not only from the board, but from the football operation as well. And I think with Jack's background in banking and finance, not to mention obviously his love of the Dons, I think we found an ideal candidate, and we'll hear from Jack in a second how he feels about it as well. You know, in time, Mel, I think we might look to appoint maybe a further custodian or a further ambassador, but right now I think we're in really good hands with both Neil and Jack together.
Well, Jack, if I can come to you, and a very warm welcome on board.
Thanks, Mel.
First of all, maybe just tell the fans a wee bit more about yourself and, I mean, your business background.
Yes, well, my career was with Clydesdale Bank, joined there when I was 16 and started in Rothay Norman, which will be a place that certainly Neil's familiar with. And then Dice and Dice Airport, as it was known, and then in what I think is now Archibald Simpson, but was our chief office in Aberdeen. Then I moved down to the Central Belt here in 82, which I thought was just going to be 3 or 4 years missionary work, but here I am, still here. So, and for about the I retired in 2009, but for about the last year, I headed up the bank's corporate banking and structured finance area, which is the kind of larger businesses around Scotland. So that was my kind of banking career, man and boy, with Clydesdale. And as I say, I retired in 2009. Since then, Mal, I've been doing non-executive director stuff. Had a few of them, but at the moment I chair a cancer charity and I am deputy chairman of Scottish Building Society.
Jack, you certainly bring a lot of experience to the role. Just, you're obviously a lifelong Aberdeen fan. You've seen all the good times and the bad. You've seen Mr. Simpson in his prime.
Indeed, yes.
tell us a wee bit about some of your memories supporting the Dons.
I guess if probably, you know, you would go for the European games as some of the really big highlights. You know, the obvious ones. I mean, as far as Pataudry's concerned, Bayern Munich, the quarter final, never ever forget. And I don't think anybody it was there well. On the domestic front, well, there was obviously that great Ferguson era that Neil was part of. 79-80 season, I remember a lot and his very fond memories, winning the Premier League for the first time down at Easter Road, beat Hibs 5-0. And it was, of course, radios as opposed to mobile phones at that time. And when Sir Alec ran on the pitch to run to Bobby Clark, that was when we knew that we'd won the league. So that was a great moment there. More recently, and not such a high-profile one, but that, for example, that 4-3 win down at Rugby Park in the Scottish Cup, you know, two goals just at the end of extra time, it doesn't get much better there. You're, you know, celebrating with the fans, the players, the management come over. So, as you say, good times and bad, Mal, but lots of great, great memories.
Can I just tell us a wee bit about the role and how did it come about, and you know, and why did you agree to it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a couple of roles at the moment, so I've got time in my hands, and I'd indicated that if there was anything I could do to help the club, I would happily do that. Got approached about the DNA role, and I thought it just sounds perfect, because I genuinely think, I'm obviously a member, but I just think generally it's such a good initiative. So, I mean, the role itself, as Rob's touched on, is around just giving that independent assurance to existing DNA members, and indeed those that might be considering becoming a DNA member. One, that all the money is being spent on the football operation, and two, it's being spent as wisely as possible with a view to bringing success to the club. So, you know, as a supporter, if you like, just bringing that level of independence.
And you mentioned independence, and I think that's an important point to emphasise. I mean, you know, you're independent from the board, and if you're not happy, Jack, you'll tell them, won't you?
Yes, shyness is not one of my strong points, Mal, so I think I'll manage it. Yeah.
Just a wee bit more, what do you see the role involve you actually doing? Is it a case of sort of looking through accounts, that type of thing?
Yes, well, I think we'll sit down, you know, a minimum of twice a year to go, just exactly as you say, to go over accounts, go over bank statements, etc. All that boring, but nevertheless essential financial stuff, just so that I can, you know, if you like, put pen to paper and say, yes, I've independently looked at this. We're doing exactly as it says in the tin, if you like. And listen, if there's anything I can bring to the party beyond that, it helps Neil in any way, or just generally, I'm delighted to do that.
I was going to say, Jack, it's great to have you on board. Simi, great to see you, mate. Can I just start by asking you, why did you agree to become the first AberDNA ambassador?
Well, I mean, I think, one, it's a privileged position, firstly, to be asked. But, I mean, I think Ibdi is well aware of my love for the club, being a supporter, watching Joe Harper and Bobby Clark, you know, in the early 70s, Zoltán Vargas scoring the two goals against Celtic. And then, obviously, getting the opportunity to be a professional player with the club and, you know, be involved in some of the biggest nights in the club's history. And then, obviously, coming back to the club in 2001 as part of the community department, and also, obviously, in my role now as the head of Youth Academy, you know, you can see the love that all the supporters have got, you know, for the club and for Aberdeen. And, you know, I just, you know, I feel really a supporter. It's done well and getting to this position. And, you know, I just think the AberDNA has been such a great scheme for, you know, for the Youth Academy especially, but also for the club as a whole.
And Neil, just on that, I mean, can you maybe tell us a wee bit more just about the impact it's had on the Youth Academy? I mean, what are some of the additional things that maybe you've been able to do that weren't budgeted for?
Well, I mean, I think overall for the whole football operation, it's been a huge boost. You know, one, to keep our youth department going at a high level. You know, we're one of the elite clubs in Scotland. Another thing that's really enhanced our programme is, look, when you're wanting to do best v best, is getting the opportunity for all our young players and teams and coaches to go and play in tournaments abroad. You know, we specify that each actual age group will play a tournament every year abroad. And you can imagine playing against Ajax and Borussia Dortmund and Feyenoord and Genk and you know, all the big name teams that you hear in the Champions League, and they're actually going and, you know, and a lot of occasions being toe-to-toe with these European teams. And, it, you know, if you imagine like a 10-year-old starting in a tournament now, and by the time they get to 16 and maybe offered a full-time contract, you know, they'll have been a minimum of six times. And obviously some of your better players will be playing in an age group up as well. So they've maybe played in tournaments up to, you know, 12 to 20 times before they actually come to Aberdeen. You know, I know from my own experience, we played in a tournament in Holland. That was my first trip abroad with Aberdeen, and we actually went and won it. And little did I know that Theo Snelders was playing for FC 20 in the same tournament. Yeah.
I'm sure you're reminded about him about that. Neil, the youth development programme is such a key element of our football strategy. I mean, it was something the chairman spoke about quite a bit yesterday. I know you're very excited about a lot of the talent coming through, but maybe talk a wee bit about it. It's obviously been a very challenging year for the youth academy. But
yeah, it's been really frustrating. I mean, obviously when the COVID hit last March, you know, I've been part of the first team now, which it's absolutely fantastic. It's the first time I've been back in my office for a year, you know, at Cormac Park. You know, when we got back, when it came out of lockdown, we then had to, you know, turn up at the training facility, do your training, and then you're away again. So that we didn't have the same impact. You know, there was we played a number of games towards the end of last year, but again, that was just regionalised. You know, it's been challenging for the players, coaches, and the parents who, you know, recognise it's a big part of their life coming to watch their sons playing.
Neil, we feel it understands a lot of fans out there struggling at the moment. It's, you know, it's a hard time for so many. So we appreciate not everybody's in a position to join or renew the membership scheme at the moment. But just thinking about it, I mean, as ambassador, what message would you have to the Red Army, those who maybe are thinking about it?
Well, I mean, again, the key, and Jack are a big part of this, but I can, you know, fully say that the money that they've invested has really helped us. It's helped the club. It's helped improve a number of things throughout the full football operation. And, you know, I like you, I fully understand, you know, people, it's been hard times. But, you know, just to assure everybody that, you know, when you're joining up the Aberdeen, you're actually making a huge difference to the club in a number of different areas.
And Rob, just finally come back to you. I mean, we've obviously got the 6,500 paid members. We've also got the 7,000 young members as part of the free under 12 scheme, which I mean, launched last year, has been a huge success, trying to nurture the next generation of fans. And hopefully we're going to see those fans back at Pittodrie very soon.
Well, I can only begin to imagine how excited they are to get back, Mel, if Neil's as excited as he is about being back in his office. So, yeah, you know, we can't wait for restrictions to ease. You know, all the fans know the lengths that we went to really try and drive the return of fans agenda earlier in the season and the challenges that we came up against there. There's some light at the end of the tunnel. We're starting to hear some encouraging news down certainly south of the border in terms of, you know, perhaps some fans back later this season and hopefully that starts to get the ball rolling up here. But we've got some fantastic ideas in mind for when we can get fans back, particularly our younger members. There are a number of things that we've got to deliver to them to welcome them back to Pittodrie and give them their first taste of football. These are fans of the future and we want to be able to nurture them in the right way and encourage them to support the club for the rest of their lives. I think the thing that's really given us a smile and heartened our spirits is seeing some of our youngest fans, newborns, being signed up literally as they're minutes old. There've been some great stories in the press about, you know, my daughter was just 10 minutes old and I submitted my form and got her signed up. That's a real testament to to the way some of the fans are thinking. So great plans in prospect, and hopefully the doors can open sooner rather than later.
And Jack, just, I mean, how much will it mean to you coming back to Pittodrie? And what do you miss most about coming to football?
I think, it's obviously, you know, watching a game, seeing your team win, etc. But it's also the kind of banter with your pals, etc., you know, before and after the game. So it's just the whole day experience, if you like. So, yeah, can't wait. Can't wait.
Yeah, we've certainly missed the fans. It certainly has not been the same. Listen, last question, Neil. As we've got you on, I've got to ask you. You've put the boots back on. You're out there on the training field with the first team. How's it been? How much have you enjoyed that?
Oh, it's been brilliant. I mean, I must say that Paul Sheeran and Barry Robson, you know, first-class coaches. And the response from the players, I think, you know, last week and this week has been absolutely brilliant. And obviously my colleague Scott Anderson is helping out as well. You know, if we get the same response and the same level of commitment and the quality that they're showing in training, you know, it won't be long before we start getting 3 points on the board again.
Well, hopefully, certainly on Saturday, and when we catch up with the guys out in training later in the week. Rob, Jack, Neil, thank you all very much for your time. Neil and Jack, we wish you all the best for the roles.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Mel.
BBC Alba will now show 7 more SWPL1 fixtures on top of the 4 already screened, making it the biggest TV deal for women's football in Scotland to date. The move will hopefully see more girls develop an interest in the game and help further the amazing strides that the Scottish women's game has achieved, including a World Cup qualification. Flo Kambeni has been called up to the Albanian international squad for their FIFA World Cup qualifiers later this month. And finally, Aberdeen FC chairman Dave Cormack spoke to Red TV last week to give an update on the search for a new manager. He's joined by Mal again, asking the questions.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Morning, Mal.
We're keen to get an update from you and how the search for a new manager is going. We'll come on to that shortly, but just first of all, can you maybe give us your thoughts and views on the events last Monday with the announcement about Derek and Tony leaving the club?
Yeah, sure, Mal. Listen, there are relationships that get built up, and whether it doesn't matter where the business is, whether it's my software businesses or the football club, it is always the hardest part of the job is when people part company, whether it be the club or any business for that matter. I mean, I've worked with Derek and Tony and supported them for almost 4 years now. This isn't just like kind of overnight. Derek is someone I have a tremendous amount of time for personally. I know his wife, Nicola, and the boys. And so there's a human part of this, which is just not something you ever get used to. I'm 62 now. I've been in business for about 30 years. And it's the worst part of, as I say, of the role kind of going through that.
You touched on it a wee bit there, but just how tough a conversation was it to have with Derek and maybe some of the reasons as well?
Well, clearly it's been well kind of documented that, the performances and the results and the lack of goals since beginning of January, you know, in particular. And I remember a conversation with Derek maybe about 6-8 weeks ago where Derek said to me, and rightly so, look, Dave, if it ever gets to a stage, because the chairman-manager relationship is critical, where you think I've run my time at Aberdeen, I want you to be honest with me. And so on Monday last week, I had that conversation with Derek where I said, Derek, it's my judgment that, my judgment that I'm there as far as his time was concerned at Aberdeen. We had a very constructive conversation around the timing, and I explained to Derek that I didn't want to wait until the summer where there's so many players out of contract that we would prefer to make the move now. And so we had that conversation. We came out with the mutual consent statement, And that's really kind of the rationale, you know, behind it. And so as for the reasons, clearly, you know, the performances over that period are challenging for the club. And so at the end of the day, it's a judgment from my perspective. And we felt the timing was right as a board to give a new manager coming in time to get ready for next season.
Dave, just before we move on, what legacy does Derek leave after his 8 years in charge?
Derek leaves a tremendous legacy. I like to kind of classify as the late 90s to 2013, when Derek came, as almost years in the wilderness. You know, like many clubs, Aberdeen speculated based on potential TV money in the 90s and ended up building up debt of probably close to 15 million. And it took us the best part of 15 years to get rid of that debt. Derek came in and basically took the club from being perennial bottom six players and dragged it back onto its feet and put a level of professionalism into the club that is right across the board. And so Derek's legacy is being one of the most consistent managers in the history of this club, with top six finishes, with European football every year, and of course the 2014 League Cup winning win behind him, where we had great day with 43,000 Aberdonians at Celtic Park. So Derek will be a tough act to follow.
Well, we thank Derek and Tony for their time and effort at Aberdeen, and a successful time, and we certainly wish them all the very best for the future. We now have to look forward, though, Dave. So with that in mind, can you please tell the fans a bit about the process that's in place for finding a new management team?
Yeah, absolutely. When we finish this interview here, I'm spending time with some of the other board members to go through the applications and the approaches we've made ourselves over the last week. It's only been a week. And just to make it clear for everyone's sake, not one person has been offered the job, guaranteed the job. Myself and nobody else that I know of is isolating in Aberdeen at the Crown Plaza. I didn't even know there was a Crown Plaza in Aberdeen. But we will go through a process, and it will take as long as it will take. It might take 2 weeks. It might take longer. But as a process, we have to go through. People that know me, and you know me, Mal, I'm a real process guy. And it's important we go about it. But here's the key thing, Mal. We have got a strategy at the club that we put in place on and off the field in May of 2019. It makes it clear what we are about. I love the term, we may be wrong, but we won't be confused. There's a clear plan there. Off the field, we've made a number of changes, positive changes in my mind, as far as the club is concerned. Rob Wicks coming on board as our commercial director and Kevin McKeever as our finance director. And we've grown our off-the-field revenues. And so similarly with the football operation, we have a clear strategy on the philosophy, how we want to play, and bringing younger players through the team as well. So we've got a clear criteria for what we're looking for. We'll sift through those applications this afternoon and get at the process as expediently as we can get.
So, Dave, sorry, just to clarify on the timescale, you're basically saying it'll take as long as it needs to take.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Just, it is a confidential process, so I hope it's okay for what you say, but and without giving anything away, have you been surprised by the volume of applications or even some of the names that put themselves forward?
Yeah, there's been one or two, let's call them outliers, if you like. I mean, clearly we've had applications from Scotland, within Scotland itself. We've had applications from England, from Europe, multiple applications from the States. And so the thing to remember is that Aberdeen is a storied club. It is a highly sought after, it's a highly sought after position, you know. And I talked to Sir Alec Ferguson, he called me on Friday, and he reminded me that in his opinion, I agree with him, that Aberdeen Football Club is the hardest club to manage outside of Celtic and Rangers, and the hardest club to be chairman of, as he stated, you know, as well. It's a prestigious position for anyone.
David, your first appointment as Aberdeen chairman, first managerial appointment, it is a big decision. I mean, will you look to get advice from anyone? You obviously mentioned Sir Alex there. Anybody else?
Yeah, well, listen, we've got a strong board. I mean, for example, we've strengthened our board. Guys like Darren Eales, who managed Spurs and managed for Daniel Levy and managed West Brom, has got kind of great experience. And also, I've been encouraged, really enheartened by a number of the former players, whether it be a Willie Garners or Joe Harper, Bobby Clarks, that have kind of encouraged me. And I did get that call from Sir Alex on Friday, which was really nice of him. And he basically said to me, listen, Dave, as you look forward and make this appointment, the relationship between the chairman and manager is critical. And you make sure that you do your diligence, but you pick someone you feel is the right person for yourself to work with and for the club. He reminded me that in his mind, we've got a clear strategy in how we want to play, you know, and reminded me that Neil Simpson, for example, is a great asset, and suggested then, and he is part of the interim team, that Neil Simpson be involved with the first team, because the guy is a winner, an absolute winner through and through, and really kind of epitomizes what it is to be an Aberdeen player. He reminded me as well that there's lots of people, perhaps pundits in the media, that don't want Aberdeen to do well, probably don't want me to do well, don't want Aberdeen to do well, ignore that, and said, listen, you find a coach that you can work with, someone that will go to Glasgow and aim to beat Celtic and Rangers. You know, don't look for kind of second best as far as that goes, and someone that is on the offense. And he did ask me as well, he said, how are you feeling about it, Dave? And I said, well, Sir Alex, I would say I'm nervous, but I'm really excited as well. And he said, good, that's exactly the way it should be. And he also suggested I lean on Bobby Clark, who I agree with Sir Alex is probably one of the best human beings I've ever encountered. So Sir Alex has made himself available as we go through this process for me to use him as a sounding board. And you can bet your bottom dollar or pound that I'll take him up on that.
Well, Dave, certainly, you know, wish you good luck with the process. Until you find the right person, we've obviously got Paul Sheehan and Barry Robson, along with Neil Simpson in charge, Scott Anderson and Gordon Marshall also there as well. But I know Paul, Barry and Neil, I mean, have the full support of everybody at the club, don't they, Dave? You know, very experienced, very much respected in the game. And it's vital that we all get behind them, because we've obviously got a massive game on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, listen. And these guys are all their own personalities. And they're also, as you know, Mal, their own men as well. You know, they thrived under being a part of Derek's team, but they all have their own ambitions too. You know, Paul is different to Barry. Everybody's different to Barry. Is different to Neil Simpson. What Neil brings to the table is that he has been the conduit from the youth academy. We've got a great crop of young players coming through. He's been the conduit for these guys to go through the first team, and he'll be there as part of that setup with a number of those younger players who are ready to kind of make their breakthrough. Barry, as you know, is Barry. He is a coach. He is a Bielsa what's the word I want to use, is a Bielsa believer, in terms of the high press, in terms of attacking. And if you look at his under 18 team last year that went toe to toe, or the last season we played with Rangers. And Paul brings an astuteness. And some people think Paul's quiet or that, but Paul, I mean, there's a steeliness to Paul there as well. So we're in good hands through this process and that we go through with these guys, and I'm sure they'll put their stamp on the rest of the season or however many games it is that they are involved.
We certainly wish them well. Dave, just while I've got you on, a couple other questions. You postponed a Q&A with fans. Can you maybe just give an update of when that will likely happen? So I'm sure they'd far rather put their own questions to you than listen to mine.
Well, let's go back a step. We committed as a team to being open and transparent with our fans, right? And middle of January, committed to doing this live Q&A, probably early to mid-February. Now, unfortunately, we went on a terrible run of games and not scoring. And right before, I think, the St Mirren game, that Thursday we met, and we all kind of agreed that it would be wrong to cancel the Q&A, let's do it the next Tuesday. And, of course, we drew with St Mirren on the Saturday. I woke up on the Sunday morning and said, you know what, I need to back out of this to give the team and the manager the room to breathe and not allow anybody to kind of pick up on the interview kind of negatively. So it was my decision to go ahead with the Q&A for the right reasons, I believed, but I made a mistake and I rectified it on the Sunday and I said it was postponed. We'll pick some time in the next couple of weeks where we'll do the live Q&A, and we still have all the questions kind of stored up from then, and there'll probably be some more questions that the fans will have as well. So we'll announce that in the next couple of weeks.
And Dave, just finally, I mean, no one said to you, I'm sure it'd be easy being a chairman of a football club. You have come in for some criticism, but knowing you the way I do, I mean, I'm sure it won't affect your long-term vision and ambitions for the club.
Look, constructive criticism is healthy, right? None of us are perfect. I am not perfect, far from it. I like to say to people, judge me on how I respond. You know, so constructive criticism is fine and it's fair, right? And it's important to be kind of transparent about that. But look, it's part of the territory of being chairman of a football club, particularly Aberdeen Football Club. Some of the criticism from some of the media pundits and ex-players, criticism of me and of our fans for expecting too much. There's a lot I'd like to say, but I will hold my tongue and rise above it. But what I will say is this to those people is it wrong of Aberdeen fans to want more than one trophy in 26 years?
Thank you for the update. I was just going to ask you, where are you? Because, I mean, according to some, you've been spotted in Aberdeen this week. So, do you want to just...
So I'm actually at my son's house in Atlanta. And so it's my grandson's birthday today. So we're at his house. He's at school just now. We're actually, by the time change, we're four hours behind the UK just now, but it's his birthday, Peter's birthday today. He's a huge Dons fan, loves Joe Lewis. It is my plan, I'm looking right now over the coming weeks, to come back over to Aberdeen for a good period of time. So just trying to navigate through the testing and everything I need to do, because the last thing I want to do is fall foul of any of the quarantine stuff back home.
And we'll speak again soon.
Right. Cheers. Thanks, Mal.
In the SPFL on Saturday, St Johnstone claimed the final top six place in the Scottish Premiership after Glenn Middleton's late goal was enough to beat Ross County 1-0 at McDermott Park. St Mirren were on course to claim a top half finish when they led 1-0 at Hamilton with a Jamie McGrath penalty, but Kyle Munro equalised for Accies in the last minute as Saints missed out on goal difference. Livingston and Hibs drew 1-1 at the Tony Macaroni Arena. Kilmarnock thumped Motherwell 4-1 at Rugby Park, helped by a first-minute goal from Kyle Lafferty to move off the foot of the table. And on Sunday, it was a 1-1 draw between Celtic and Rangers.
To keep each other safe, here's what we need to do. Get the vaccine when it's offered. If you have symptoms, isolate immediately and book a test. Remember facts and stick to the restrictions. Until we've all been vaccinated, protecting each other is up to all of us.
Last week, Red TV caught up with Niall McGinn for his Q&A.
Who was your childhood crush?
Childhood crush? I probably like, what do you call the... Was it not Rachel, but the girl I saved by the bell. She was a brunette girl. All them programmes, so probably Kelly, yeah. Yeah. Rich, what's her name?
Tiffany?
Nah, it's in Saved by the Bell. What's her name? I think it's... forgot. Can I jump up? No,
yeah. Go for it.
Saved by the Bell, it's... Her, what do you call her, the brunette one?
Is that her name?
Tiffany?
Yeah.
But what was her name in the...
No, Kelly, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, maybe Kelly, yeah. Kelly Lopez? Is it Kelly something? Still videoing?
Okay, Niall, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small village, Dannockmore. It's probably a village full of maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people, but just a very, very small village, probably similar to Emmerdale.
Team supporter does a boy?
I always supported Man United growing up. My brother and my father, they were sort of Liverpool fans growing up, so I wanted to be a wee bit different, and I was just thankful when I grew up I get sort of the good times, more of the good times then than I obviously am now with United.
Best moment on a football pitch?
Best moment, obviously internationally, it's scoring that goal at the Euros 2016 is the best moment in my career. Best moment for Aberdeen is winning the League Cup. Massively. So yeah, there are probably two highlights, both club and country.
What is that feeling like when you scored at the Euros? At the moment the ball hit the back of the net, does it go silent or what?
It was just make sure it hit the target, because it was the 95th, 96th minute. It was just make sure it hit the target, and I was just so happy just to be on the pitch, and obviously to end up scoring was just unbelievable. And thankfully sort of getting that second goal for us to win 2-0 probably helped us qualify that bit more quicker as well. So nah, I'm glad I sort of could come on and help the team.
Just for on yourself now, what would you say your top three Aberdeen goals are? If you can.
Top three? My favourite's definitely the Tynecastle one, where I've beat a couple of players and put it in the top corner. I think it's just that day, how we played in that first half, when we got 3-0 up at half time, we were unbelievable. I think we won our first 8 out of our 8 games that season. So, yeah, I liked that one. I liked the one against Motherwell a couple of seasons ago where I've cut inside as well. It was sort of near the end of the game and put it in the top corner. Another goal that I like, although it wasn't probably the best goal, but I loved scoring at Ibrox. It was just a special feeling, to be honest. I've always wanted to score at Ibrox, and when we beat them in the replay to score that goal, it was nice. But I really liked the goal against Dundee as well, where I've caught the ball, I've took a touch with my left knee and I've volleyed in the off the post and in. So now I've been quite fortunate, I've had a lot of free kicks over the years as well, so scored a free kick at Tynecastle as well. So now I've probably a lot of good ones, which is obviously great.
Yeah, there's many to choose from, isn't there?
Yeah.
And top assist, would you say, as well, if you have one?
Probably the two standard is definitely the when we beat Rangers at Hampden, when I hit the corner in for Fergie. Fergie's got up really well and put the ball in the net, and that was probably my favourite. But another one was when we beat Hearts down in Tynecastle 1-0, when I've assisted for Johnny. Johnny came in at the back post and scored, and now just sort of the atmosphere, and obviously beside the Aberdeen fans made that more better.
Both of them right in front of the Aberdeen fans, weren't
they? Yep, so, both of them perfect.
Special, yep. What's your best characteristic?
Just being humble, I think. Just being sort of being happy medium. Don't get too high, don't get too low. just be happy for what you do. Yeah, just sort of being normal and just sort of don't get too high and don't get too low and just sort of being yeah, probably happy medium.
Yeah. And finally, what's the one thing that you love most about football?
Just being able to call it your job, being able to do something you love doing. Obviously, getting paid for it's a bonus, but I'm always a big believer. You go in every morning, whether you win, lose, or draw at the weekend, you have to be happy, or you're doing something you love doing. You can always improve, you can always get better, but to be able to obviously be a professional footballer is a dream for any young lad. To be a professional footballer for as long as you possibly can, and obviously being an international footballer is obviously the pinnacle as well. So, nah. Yeah, it's just great that you're just doing something that keeps you fit and healthy as well.
Yeah, Niall, top man, thank you very much.
No worries, thank you.
Cheers.
Our next action will be in the Scottish Cup, where we'll face Dumbarton or Huntley in the third round on Saturday the 3rd of April. Dumbarton and Huntley will play out their second round match tomorrow evening. Kickoff is at 7:45 p.m. Also tomorrow, the remaining second round fixtures in the Scottish Cup are between Arbroath versus Falkirk, Brora Rangers versus Hearts, Bucky Thistle versus Cali Thistle, Elgin City are at home to Ayr United, it's Annan Athletic and away to Formartin United, Greenock Morton versus Dunfermline Athletic, Keith versus Clyde, Nairn County at home to Montrose, Partick Thistle versus Cowdenbeath, Peterhead versus Stenhouse Muir, and Stirling Albion versus Raith Rovers. And just to keep your diary in check for the Scottish Cup, so the third round will take place on Easter weekend on Saturday the 3rd of April, the fourth round on Saturday the 17th of April, the fifth round on Saturday the 24th of April, and the semi-finals on Saturday the 8th and Sunday the 9th of May. And the Scottish Cup final will be on Saturday the 22nd of May. League action will return post-split on the weekend of the 10th of April, with the final matches of the season being played on the 16th of May. All the fixtures have been updated on our website, invernessreds.co.uk. It was a year ago tomorrow that we produced our first lockdown AFC Dons cast, and a year on, who would have thought we're still locked out of games. Since then, we've brought you 48 shows, the most we've done in one season, and hopefully we've kept you informed along the way. We've got another 11 to go, so stick with us as we see out the final part of a strange, strange season. I'll be back on Tuesday, the 6th of April, following our Scottish Cup match. Have a great Easter. I'll see you back here for the running, and stand free.
Online, on your mobile, and across the UK. This is the AFC Donscast.